aunt passed away in her sleep at 92 years old. And so we were in a Catholic church at a funeral service. And if you've ever been in a Catholic church, it's different than a Protestant church. So, you know, being a pastor and obviously being in the scriptures, I could hear a lot of things being said that obviously I knew were true regarding the resurrection and Christ dying for our sins and all those kind of things. But as I was sitting there, one thing I was sort of stricken by is that it's one thing to know about Christ, right? To know about the history of the death, burial, and resurrection, but it's another thing to really know who he is, right? And what happens because of theology and misunderstanding of the truth of the scriptures is that many people think because they go to church and they believe ritual or dogma that they're born again or they're God's kids. And you can't be saved through infant baptism, which is what the church teaches. The salvation comes when the child is baptized, and then they're part of the church. And so when you talk to people about their relationship with Jesus Christ and whether they know him or not, and how do they know they know him, they'll usually tell you, well, because I live a good life, I do this, I don't do that. They'll give you a whole list of things and duties that they think, you know, justify them. But none of that stuff works. And so we have relatives, and Cindy and I, you know, we pray, we try to live the life in front of them, the relationship. They visit here to the church when they come. They love it here. And they sort of watch, and, you know, it's a whole different encounter experience because you guys, when you worship, you're really worshiping someone you know. You're not singing about someone. You're singing to someone, right? And you're worshiping him. And so there's a whole difference in regard to knowing Christ and knowing about Jesus Christ. And so Paul is speaking this morning in this book of 1 Timothy about issues that the church in Ephesus needed to understand. Now Ephesus, and we talked briefly recently about the problems in that church. The reason Paul wrote this letter to Timothy was to put things in order that were out of order in regard to what was happening in this particular church, the church of Ephesus. And this church is very symbolic, not only of a literal church that was in existence at this time when the Apostle John was writing the history of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, and Paul sending Timothy to pastor the church in Ephesus, but it also describes what this church is like in Revelation chapter 2. And I just want to read the verses so we get some context. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So this was a good Bible-teaching church. It understood what it was in existence for, what the responsibility of this church was for, and it worked very hard to be faithful in the truth of the things of God. But then Jesus speaks here, and he says, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Now, you guys remember when you first met Jesus, how much you were in love with him, nothing else mattered. You only cared about him. You were excited about him. You wanted to tell everybody about him. You wanted to introduce everybody you knew to him, right? You remember those days? You were sort of a pain to everybody that came in your path because all you wanted to do was talk about Jesus. It's sort of like when you guys fall in love with their bride or the bride falls in love with the guy she's going to marry. I want you to meet this guy. He's the best guy on the face of the earth. So she's the most beautiful woman I've ever met. And you just want to go on and on and on about the relationship you have with this person you love. And then what happens in marriage is that love is something that isn't automatic. It's something you have to work at all the time. And you have to cultivate it, you know, you have to renew it, you have to ask God to make it alive again in marriage and relationships with him as well. But sometimes we forget that. We're just so busy grinding life out that we forget. And all of a sudden our love gets really weak and we're cold and we're indifferent and we're complacent and apathetic and our heart becomes hard and we begin to become critical and bitter of our spouse or even maybe the Lord or His church. We begin to fall out of love with the one who loves us with an everlasting love, right? And so God's always interested in restoring us to the place of intimacy with Christ and even in our homes with one another, in our body of Christ with brothers and sisters, that we would be madly in love with Him and loving one another. Because Jesus said, by this shall people know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And I love when you guys break up and you hug each other and you say hi and you catch up. You really are genuinely, I trust, excited to see each other. And if you don't see someone, you wonder how. But Jesus wants to catch up with them, or you want to find out if they're okay. That's what love's about. But Jesus is concerned about this church because the most powerful evidence that it was His church was the love. He says, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. So in other words, they're backslidden. And He's telling them, repent and do the first works. In other words, go back and do what you did when you first met me. Go back and do what you did when you first got saved and when you were born again. And you were so excited, you wanted to tell the whole world about how great I am and what I can do for others. And He said, if you don't repent and do the first works, He's going to come quickly and remove the lampstand from its place. In other words, the church will have no more influence. It'll have no more ability to see people's lives transform, because people come in and be like a dead museum. It'll just be a building of darkness and deadness and no life. And so he's very concerned about what's happening in this church. And He says, unless you repent. And that's the purpose of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. God, get a hold of my heart. If I've allowed things to crowd you out and I've moved away from you, oh God, capture me again with that love so I can be excited again. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Maybe you've lost your joy and you're no longer excited that He saved you, right? Anybody ever get to that place? Say, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were false teachers, He says, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This morning, Lord, we have ears. And we want to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to this church in Greensburg, to us. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the book of 1 Timothy was written by Paul because there's problems in the church. There's problems in this church. There's problems in every church of Jesus Christ. That's why the Word of God has to be taught. Not man's opinion, but the truth of the Word of God. So what were the problems in this church? There was false doctrine going around. That's the purpose. You guys met the elders and the deacons the last couple of weeks. We're to give watch, oversight, to prevent that kind of stuff from happening in the church. There was disorder in the worship. There was a misunderstanding of what worship was about. It was established. There was a need for qualified leaders in that church in Ephesus. It was established, but it was messed up because there was no stable, mature men to lead the church at the time. And then the last issue was there was a greed for materialism in this church, a big-time greed. And we'll get into that as we move through the book of the Bible. Jesus always talks about the things that mess us up. It's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. We all struggle with it. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. And the purpose of the evil one is to crowd Jesus out and try to position something that will take the place of Jesus for a while so that you and I won't worship Him anymore. We're not passionate about Him anymore. We basically have idols in our hearts, right? Idols in our lives. We all have them. And they sneak up in ways that you think, man, I had no idea that I was that passionate or in love with this or that or, you know, whatever. You know, I read the verses where Jesus says, if you're not willing to love me more than mother and father, son and daughter, brother and sister, you're not worthy. I mean, I used to read that and think, well, what does that mean? And He wasn't saying He didn't want you to love your family or your spouses, but the order of worship and the order of passion would be God first, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who in the world can do that without the work of the Holy Spirit? And so in verse 15, Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy. He begins to tell them he wanted to come to them. He wasn't able to. He's writing this letter. If I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God. So how do we behave as Christians? How do we treat one another? How do we listen to the Spirit of God through each other's life? How do we honor each other? How do we esteem others more highly than we do ourselves? How do we walk in humility, right? How do we walk in holiness? How do we walk in purity? All these things are moving around in the realm of the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. And so how do I act when I come into Calvary on a Sunday morning? How do I act? And it isn't the building that's the church. You're the church, the body of Christ. You and all the brothers and sisters that are around you today are the church. That's what Jesus says is his church. You, not the building, not the brick and mortar. So how do we function? How do we prepare ourselves before we come together as brothers and sisters? Well, hopefully there's some prayer. Lord, I'm going to meet some people today, and you might have something that I can bring to them to help them, to encourage them, to comfort them. But if I come in with tunnel vision, oh, it's a Sunday, and it's 10:30, and I show up and put my lazy butt in the chair, fall half asleep, and okay, it's over. I did my church thing. I go home now. I mean, we miss the whole point, right? So that isn't how we conduct. And we come, and we try to get here in time so we can worship. And you know, whether you raise your hands or your heart's raised, doesn't matter. You know, God sees what's going on. Lord, I'm just so glad I'm here to get some encouragement and some fellowship, because I've been like all by myself pretty much all week with a lot of unbelievers and not even being connected with, you know, someone that even knows who you are sometimes. It's dry out there. And I can come in here on Sunday morning and see the cars stack up out there and just say, Lord, thank you. Because, Lord, people understand this is a place of restoration and reconciliation. This isn't a place of religion. This is a place where you can come with your brokenness, which we all have, and say, Lord, fix me, heal me, touch me, comfort me. And then look around the room. Who maybe needs some help today? Holy Spirit, show me who I can come alongside of to talk to pray with, to care for, to be sensitive to. There's plenty of things we can criticize, right? I like the pastor when his hair was longer. Why did he get a haircut? I got tired of looking at myself with that old black gray hair, you know? I was like, mix it up, you know? I didn't like that one song. Well, who cares? It's not about what you like. It's about what he likes. Why don't they have the air conditioning up higher? I don't know. We need to find out why. I mean, there's all kind of stuff. That person sat beside me and they had B.O. Or they had too much perfume or not enough perfume. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. What I personally hear, you know, like people's preferences, their interests, you know, whatever. Try to accommodate everybody, but it's impossible to make everybody happy. But if I come in with my heart ready to worship God, everything's great. Because I'm with my people, my kumbas, my brothers, my sisters. I'm with the people that are walking through the same stuff I am, and I'm at home, right? I'm at home in this place with you and with God. So how do you conduct yourself in the house of God? Ephesians, if you turn there for a minute, this gives a good description of the Church of Jesus Christ in chapter 19. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. This is Ephesians 2:19. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're brothers and sisters. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, we're studying the foundation of the church, the apostle Paul's teaching today. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the one that put it all together. He's the one that holds it together. And he's the one that makes it work. In whom the whole building, and so picture yourself as a brick this morning. And you're being connected and laid upon this foundation. Fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what happens is, Like I look at the first row here, and these four people, two of them are my relatives, and I look, and they're together, and this sister's here. There's one chair and a space in the middle there. But we're all connected. It doesn't matter like how wide the row is or how many seats are empty here or how many are full. We're all connected here together supernaturally today by the Spirit of God. We're being fit together. And the hard part is sometimes we don't want to be fit together with certain people. And that's not Christianity, because we're to love one another as He's given us commandment. We're to love our enemies. We're to love those who persecute us, who say all manner of evil about us for His name's sake. We are called to be like Jesus. And so this is the work of His Spirit. And He's supernaturally putting this all together as He works in our lives. He knows what He's doing. And it's a beautiful thing. And the church is made up of people who are saved. You might be coming here for a while and you're like, what's he mean by saved? Well, I'd be glad to have coffee with you and talk about it. Or what does it mean to be born again? I hear these words once in a while. I'm just coming here because I want to be religious. Well, that's nice, but religion can't save. You know, only Jesus can save. So the majority of us here have had born again experiences and we're saved. If we die today, we're going to go be with Jesus because of what He's done for us, not because of what we could ever have done for Him. So the church is only as strong as the people who come to it are, with Christ being saved and also understanding that they're to fit together and to be able to love one another. In Titus chapter 2, right after Timothy, verses 11 through 14. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Why do we live that way? Why do we live different than the world? Why are we living in anticipation of something big happening on the horizon? "We are looking," verse 13, "for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." And you might want to underline this in your Bible, zealous for good works. When you're in love with the Lord and you got a good relationship with him, a healthy relationship, you're looking for opportunities to serve him, right? It's like, oh, I have to do this. Should I do this? I don't want to do this. You know, it's not about that. It's like finding what it is that you're really excited and turned on about and being involved in that calling and that ministry that God has for your life. Zealous, two things that will impact the lives of other people. And then he says to the person here, as Titus, "Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." So I had the privilege to speak the things that the apostle says. I have the ability and the privilege to exhort, which means warn, in case some of us maybe aren't doing this right now, that God's wanting us to understand His will. And to rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. And sometimes people despise the messenger. That's all we are, is this messenger. So he says, you ought to know how to conduct yourselves in the house of God. So those verses gave us some background and understanding of why we are in the body of Christ. And then he says, which is the church of the living God. So when we come here, it is alive. I mean, I like the worship today. I'm like, praise God, you know, you're here. I see people worshiping, and then I see people having tears and their heads down, and they're concentrating on their relationship with Christ. And that's a work that he does supernaturally, individually, just you and him, as you're here before his throne of grace. It's you and him, and you with your brothers and sisters. So it's a church of not a dead God. You come into church and if it's dead, there's something wrong either with the church or with you. Because maybe you come in dead with your relationship with the Lord. You've drifted. He's not the focal point anymore of your life. And I've sat where you sat in churches where my heart was bad. It was dead because I wasn't in love with the Lord. I was in love with myself. So we come into the presence of the living God, and the more the Holy Spirit's able to move and flow and work in the church, you start to see people broken and honest and sincere with each other and with the Lord and the throne of grace. And they're like, oh God, like we're singing a song, I surrendered, Lord. I give this to you. It's just you and me, Lord. Here's my heart, God. Fix it, shape it, mold it, transform it. Because the longer your heart is sick and you're not understanding how much He loves you, the tougher life gets, right? It becomes meaningless. It becomes hopeless. There's nothing to satisfy anymore. And that's not what He has for us. He says, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Why is it called the pillar and ground of truth? Well, the only thing we want to talk about here is Jesus and His Word, right? So this is where we learn. This is where I learn. This is where the people that listen to Grace FM learn, because everything on that station is men teaching the Word of God like I am today. Had an opportunity to get a hold of a guy at Calvary Chapel, pastor in Delta. He's one of my favorites in the afternoon. And I listened to all these guys, and God's speaking to me through these different men to encourage me. And I called down there to get a hold of him. He's been in ministry about the same length of time I've been in it, and same kind of size of church, and same kind of problems, issues, struggles. And so I said, what can I pray for you for? And then he began to tell me stuff that I've either been through or I'm going through right now as a pastor, right? And so it was so awesome just to pray and to encourage each other and to talk and to develop this koinonia, this fellowship, this friendship. And we talk about the privilege we have, in spite of us being basically knuckleheads in the natural, to be able to speak the truth of the Word of God to His people who He loves. This ordinary common men who've been called to give the Word of God to common ordinary people that our lives might be changed. No matter how hard it gets or how difficult or how discouraging or how heartbreaking it is, God has a plan in every local church around the world to minister to His people and to cause them to be mature and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. So it says in Ephesians 4:11, the purpose of why we gather, He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. So everything I am doing here with every fiber of my God-given ability is to give you guys something you can latch onto and be strengthened for in whatever it is you're going to face and encounter this week. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. My wife got a phone call from a good friend of hers when she was at her health retreat up in Minneapolis a couple years ago. And one of the ladies she hung out with, ran marathons, all this kind of stuff. Her daughter emulated her mom in her jogging and running and marathons, 16, something like that, scholarship potential, all that stuff. A godly young girl. She's driving down the road in the car. Some guy goes out of control, runs into them head on. Horrible accident. They had to amputate one of her legs. Just a blink of an eye, how quickly something can change. So Amy called Cindy to pray. We've been praying for this family. The husband's a believer. The wife is not really there yet. The daughter's a believer of this horrible thing. His best friend happened to be in from California. He attends a Calvary out there in Murrieta, and he was in town. And he was with this guy, Mike, the father of this girl, to be able to minister to him, because they heard the ambulances, they saw the life flight stuff going over, they figured, man, it's a bad accident somewhere. Then he gets the phone call that it's his daughter. Third degree burns all the way down the leg, punctured lung, I mean, just bad stuff. Equipping the saints. Not for mind dominance, but giving you the Word of God so that this week, no matter what you face, whatever you go through, you're going to know how to bring the saints for the work on to Jesus, because He's real to you. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Maybe you're going to be the person God's going to use to be with the person whose life has fallen apart. For the edifying of the body of Christ, I trust today that the Word of God is building you up and strengthening you till we all come to the unity of the faith, not division, but unity, oneness, that we all believe the same things about the God who wrote these Scriptures. In the same way, we want to live and follow after Him. The knowledge of the Son of God. It's all about learning about Jesus. To a perfect man, that we mature as men and women of God. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I am so full of God, I don't need anything else in my life to satisfy me anymore. Because He satisfied a hole in my heart, like Augustine said, that no one else can ever fill until God fills it, right? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You guys, as you serve the Lord here, as you pray, as you give, as you whatever it is that God's called you to do, you are knitting this church and making it stronger. According to the effective working by which every part, that's me, you, all of us here, does its share. And it causes growth of the body of the edifying itself together in love. God has a magnificent plan, doesn't He, how He does church. He has it down. We don't have to like hire church growth experts or go to seminars to figure out, well, what can we do? Can we get a comedian up here next Sunday and maybe it'll be more fun and you guys will have you'll laugh 50% of the service. Oh, I want to go back to that church again. That guy is so funny, you know, whatever. It's not about that. It's about receiving life, right? Christ has come that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus said in John 17:17, His prayer, the high priestly prayer, one of the times you could sort of eavesdrop on the conversation between Him and His Heavenly Father. It's magnificent. And He says, sanctify them in the truth, for Thy word is truth. There's only one truth that will help your lives and mine, and that's God's truth, His word. And the way we become holy and the way we become transformed and like Jesus is through the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus says, that's how we change. That's the only way we can change. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. And as He works in my life, and I, as I was sitting in that Catholic church, I had daydreaming because I was getting bored. I'm thinking, why do I have to do things five times? One time's enough. Why do I have to keep standing up and sitting down? My legs are getting weak and my back's getting, and I'm hungry. I mean, why do I have to, you know, and I'm trying to be spiritual there, right? And my mind's wandering, but as it's wandering, I'm reflecting all my years of my life and all the idiotic things I did and the stupid things I did. I look back, as Paul said, you look in the past, oh man, I was such an idiot. Embarrassed, shamefaced, red, you know, and that's why Paul said, forget the things which are behind, right? Forget them. Don't keep looking back. There's nothing usually good to look back to there, right? Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But as I was there, I was being humbled by God and this His love and wanting Him to set me apart even more than I am today, to want to do God's will. Only want to do His will. And it's accomplished in my life and yours by the teaching of the Word of God, whether you get it here or somewhere else, hopefully, or the radio, the favorite preachers you have, teachers. We are blessed with this Grace FM in our community. If you haven't had a chance, 100.3 FM, streaming graceradio.fm all over the world. You'll find in the midst of your day something that will speak to your soul that God has just for you through someone that doesn't even know who you are. It's God's Spirit that knows who you are and knows what you need. and then to live out these things that we learn in the Word of God, live out these truths of God's Word so that we can be blessed and used and fulfilled in our life as believers. And I thought I was going to get to the end, but I didn't, so we'll finish up the next verse. I'm not going to rush. We'll finish that up next week as the worship team can come forward. You have opportunity, if you need prayer, you can come forward, and there's people here who will pray with you, elders and deacons, their wives, husbands. If you want to come up at the end of the service for prayer, come on up, and let me pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for these precious people you love here today. You care about them so much, Lord. You've given yourself for them. You want to make yourself more real to them and just draw them to yourself. And Lord, I know that's what we all want, Lord, because we belong to you. You tell us your sheep hear your voice and they follow you. The noise of the world makes it hard sometimes for us to hear your voice. I know I struggle even as a pastor, that I'd give you time to speak to me and that I would listen, that I would pay attention and not be so busy, so driven. I pray today, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that even today they've heard something from you that renewed them, that increased their faith, that gave them a greater degree of confidence in your faithfulness and trusting in you. I pray for all of us this week as we head out into the world, into life, that God, we would be mindful of this work of the Holy Spirit that will change our lives as we stay in the Word together, as we seek your face. As Jeremiah 29:13 said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. May we be a church and a community and a body that is seeking you with all of our heart. We know you'll do that if we just yield to you and have that desire. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.